Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hello, and welcome to the Blizzard Watch podcast, your podcast to discuss all the various games of Blizzard Entertainment. I'm your host, Matthew Rossi, and with me this week are two, quite frankly, making me hungry co-hosts. First up, he wants to talk about cereal, so here he is, Alex Zibard. Go.
I mean, none of the people listening to this later will have heard the pre-show, so it doesn't matter. The core of it is I'm fascinated by breakfast cereals and/or mold.
Okay. Don't combine those interests, okay?
Unless they're delicious, then I'm all for it. Mold also makes delicious things.
Oh, God. Okay. Also up this week is somebody who hopefully won't sound like Mike Holmes has opened the worst diner ever, Ann Stickney. What's up with you?
Okay, so no, we're just not going anywhere with the mold. But why are you hungry? How can
sausage?
You be? Okay, stop. How can you be hungry, Rossi?
I don't know how it's possible, but you managed to do it with all the talk of breakfast cereals.
Also, I feel like I should say, like, on the actual recorded show, we should say happy birthday, Rossi, because it's Rossi's birthday today.
Happy birthday, Rossi.
Happy birthday,
yeah,
Rossi.
Everybody. It is indeed my birthday. I've managed to live yet another year, despite the world itself seeming, you know, to completely not want that to happen some days. The other day, we went out. My wife and I went out, but I went out first. We were going down to the local comic book and role playing game store. It's called Warp One. Mm-hmm. And I was riding the bus, and the bus had like these stairs that go from the seats up in the back.
Yeah.
There's stairs that lead down. Yeah. As I was putting my foot on the first step, bus driver slams on the brake, and I go flying forward.
Ow!
And here's the thing: I'm a big fat dude. I'm large. So when I went crashing into the people who were there, I felt like Godzilla stepping on an entire village of small people. I'm like, apologizing profusely because it's Canada. You know, I'm it's practically required. And they're all like, oh, it's fine. Because they were Canadians. So they're like, you know, no, you go ahead and crush us. We don't mind. But as I'm going to the store, I realize I have completely blown out my knee.
Ow.
So yeah, I'm sitting there at the bus stop, and Canadians can't see you hurt without saying something. Like they don't want to be involved, but they can't just pass by. Like let's be honest, Americans could just walk right by it.
So, depends, you know, on where you are.
Okay, except in some place like Milwaukee.
Yeah, yeah, Milwaukee is strangely
Canada
friendly.
South. It's Canada South. The entirety
That's true.
Of you know. But anyway, there's just that if you were like in New York City or any New England city, in New England especially, in Providence, they'd have walked by me and sneered at me for bleeding. But in Canada, they were like, oh, your knee, are you okay? Like 30 people. This gigantic man walked by me and was like, yeah, your knee, that looks like it hurt. You need some help? I'm like, no, I'm fine. I'm sitting, resting, and walking it off. I go into the store, and they had the entire World of Warcraft role-playing game.
Ooh, neat.
Yeah, the whole thing. I'm looking at it, thinking about it, but it's full cover price.
Oh, how much is it?
Like $30. I'm sitting there going, can I justify this? And I ultimately could not justify it.
That's one
but
of those
as I'm doing that,
that like I want all those old role-playing supplement things. I know they're not canon or anything, but I want them anyway just to have them.
Honestly, I kind of want them so someday I can actually live out my dream of running a World of Warcraft role-playing game session just because I, you know, I want to see what I can do with those classes.
That'd be fun. We could stream it.
Yes.
Just do it online.
But anyway, okay. Enough talk of my birthday. By the way, I had Easter pie tonight for dinner. I heartily recommended it. I tweeted the recipe, so go to my Twitter and you'll find the recipe. It's very good, but you can't eat it more than once a year.
It looks because really it is tasty.
Cholesterol-wise, this thing is just like a gigantic bullet you were shooting at your heart. It's like eggs, cheese, three kinds of
bullet product.
Yeah. On the bus thing, I have been taking the bus basically my whole life, and I learned I have a death grip on a pole of some sort in that bus at all times.
Oh, I had that.
At every opportunity, they will throw you.
Yeah, I had that going, and he hit the brake so hard that I just came off. Like, it was like, nope, you are a projectile.
I think my crowning achievement, like my lifetime achievement, is when I was standing at the very back of the bus. Like, I was standing because there was no sitting room left. It was like after school in high school, and it was raining, everything was all wet, and the bus slams on the brakes, and I slide from the back of the bus all the way to the front doors without losing my balance. And I was like, I'm amazing, and I will never replicate that in my entire life because I'm actually kind of a loser. But it was awesome at the time.
Okay.
I just got all right,
we
email.
Should probably talk about... Okay, well, you got an email. Do you need to talk about it?
No, I just feel like squeeing because it says that my Mass Effect edition, limited edition loot crate just shipped, so I'm excited. Okay.
Cool. All right.
What are we on this podcast things? For?
I don't know.
I was about to say, the first thing I was going to mention is some top stories, and the first top story was going to be that the Overwatch beta is taking a temporary hiatus.
I know.
As of December 10th, was it?
Yep.
Until mid to late January, I believe.
Yep.
This to me at least says that they are going back to the drawing board on a few things, because it reminds me very much of during the Mists of Pandaria beta when they pulled Jade Forest entirely.
Well, I imagine probably what's gone on is that in this particular round of beta testing, they've been observing people playing and observing the classes in action and observing how people are working on maps and things like that. And they've gotten a wide variety to look at. And now they're taking all of that information that they got and going back to the drawing board with it and going, okay, so here's some problematic areas. How do we fix that? And they're going to work on that.
But yeah, that's happening. So honestly, I have no idea what that means in terms of when Overwatch is going to come out. And I've stopped even trying to speculate on that kind of thing, because I'm the guy that said that no way was an alpha going to drop for a Legion until sometime after New Year's. So I am not exactly the prognostication.
Mm-hmm. Hasn't it been more or less confirmed that it's coming like early fall 2016? Like, didn't they straight up say much?
I think they actually said before early.
I thought they did.
I don't quite remember.
But at any rate, it's going to come out before Legion.
It says that it's expected to release Honor before June 21st.
Legion has Honor before sometime in September, which we've all argued is way too late.
I think I had those reversed in my head.
Yeah.
But also, since we just mentioned Legion, we should talk about the fact that they did a lot of stuff on the Alpha. They've made it so Death Knights can actually get out of their starting zone, for one thing.
Demon Hunters,
I keep saying Death Knights, and I mean Demon Hunters. I'm really going to have to stop doing that at some point in my life. When it'll happen. Demon Hunters can get out of their starting area. They've actually introduced quite a few artifacts, although not all of them. Most classes except Shamans. I think most classes except Shamans have at least one playable artifact.
There's Shamans one playable spec, really, because you make pre-mades. You can't character copy right now. It's just made
pre-made. Yeah, but some classes have two specs, because I know that Warriors have two.
Yeah.
I think Rogues Paladins only had one.
Rogues are stuck with one right now. Druids are stuck with one. I think Hunters are stuck with one. Most everybody just has
Paladins. I haven't looked too deeply into Paladins, but I know when I was watching my girlfriend do the Red Paladin stuff, when she got to the point in the artifact where she could choose which artifact to go for, you could choose from all three of them, but I think they only let you play Red, so I don't know what that's about.
If you try it, if it's anything like what happens with Warriors, you can try it and it will say, you know, you can't actually pick that one right now.
Yeah, with Rogues, it's straight up. Two of them are grayed out. There's only one option.
Yeah, two were grayed out for Rogues, whereas for Paladins, all three of them were presented as an option. No grayed out.
But I know that for Death Knights, all three are available.
Yeah, they have all three specs.
And I actually mean Death Knights.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, because I did the blood decay.
Frost blood, unholy death knight.
I didn't do the unholy one because Deadwind Pass is a nightmare.
It's a nightmare of immediate disconnects and no way to get back in. That's what Deadwind Pass is right now.
I didn't finish that one. At this point I've done almost every other. I've done pretty much every other melee spec that's available. Except that Unholy Death Knight. That's the only one I haven't finished.
I did part of the way into the Hunter, didn't get too far. Druid, I got to the point where I have to go into Deadwind Pass, and that is not working well at all. And then Rogue I finished completely, but I haven't had a chance to play the others yet.
I actually finished Rogue myself, and I was amazed that I could do it, because I had no idea what I was doing.
Oh, yeah.
That last fight, yeah, I think maybe if you knew what you're doing, the last fight wouldn't be too hard. As a guy who had no idea what he was doing, I spent so much time gouging and like, you know, oh, is my potion up yet? My potion thing's up. Boom. Not my actual potion, the ability, red something.
Crimson Vial.
Crimson Vial. Like I was relying on Crimson Vial for that fight like you wouldn't believe. I was gouging and Crimson Vialing and blinding and Crimson Vialing and
do.
I spent a lot of time in that fight just not hitting her, but in the end, it actually, you know, I felt like I'd accomplished something when I got it done, so that was cool.
It does seem like some of those are, some of them are either overtuned or the rest of them are undertuned. I'm not really sure which it is. Like, it seems like the Rhett Paladin one is hilariously easy, whereas the Rogue one is seems to be kind of a struggle.
They aren't quite balanced yet, is all.
Well, they haven't balanced classes yet. Straight up, classes are not balanced. No. It's a little wonky
right now.
I gotta say though, at least so far, for the ones I've done, I've liked most of them. I honestly feel like, and this is gonna sound weird, I feel like the Warrior one was the best one to my mind, the Fury Warrior one. The Rhett Paladin one's pretty close. The Rhett Paladin one has more after you get the artifact feeling to it. Like there's a lot of I don't want to spoil it, but there's a lot of setup and a lot of payoff, and there's like so many names. So many, like, oh my god, it's that guy.
Right.
Oh my god, it's that guy.
Yeah, Rogue is kind of...
Rogue seems kind of poopy right now.
It feels like it's not really polished at all. And it's the same thing with the Class Hall. The Class Hall feels like it is not finished, like, anywhere near finished yet. They've got, like, the bones down, but they haven't finished carving it out yet.
It seems like one of those things where... I'm kind of nervous because it's like we're all like, oh, it's totally not finished. And then somebody at Blizzard is like, oh, crap, that was definitely finished.
I don't think it was done. I honestly don't think it was done. Because when you go...
It's got too many of those signs.
Yeah, when you go and you look at the other class hall areas, though, they're about three times the size of the Rogue one right now.
There's the under-construction signs of the Rogue class hall, but they're there in the Paladin class hall, too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's like, okay, they could both still be under construction, but it's not necessarily indicative of how much still needs to be done. Because the Paladin one, like, if they just set it live like that, I was like, okay, this is a great class hall.
I don't think that they're quite done with the Rogue yet. I have a feeling it's like... Now, mind you, I'm okay with them not being done with the Rogue class hall yet, because the Outlaw class is really fun to play. I like it a lot.
I have to say that in terms of like other class halls I've seen, I haven't gotten a chance to see the Hunter one yet, but I've seen the Warrior one, I've seen the Death Knight one. The Death Knight one is Acherus, you know it.
Yeah.
If you've seen Acherus, that's it. It's Acherus. It's a little different, but not many. The Demon Hunter one is interesting.
Isn't it?
It's Mardoom, but it's literally the same place you end Mardoom at. Like you go in and kill the Legion person and get the Sargeri, whatever the thing to do, dad. And then when you get through the Watcher's place, that's the thing I want to talk about, but I can't. That's spoiler-tastic.
Yeah,
but
don't spoil stuff.
I'm just gonna say, does that not feel to you like it retcons the heck out of some of those published books?
I haven't finished yet with the Demon Hunter thing, so I can't really comment on that.
Go finish it, because at some point we need to talk about that possibility.
Well, I tell you what, when I have time, I will do so.
I am struggling to reconcile this, and I can't do it. But the hall itself is nice. The hall is it's really my only problem with the hall is my problem with like a lot of things. Demon Hunter so far is these only two colors, black and green.
Yeah,
and it's like it's always the same black and green. It's like a velvet painting of Illidan.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, that's what it's like. It's like a velvet painting of Illidan, just the tattoos and a vague shape of blackness behind it. And there's stuff going on that's interesting. I just wish they'd like throw in some other colors. Like, can we have some other colors besides black and green? Like, fel could be other colors. It doesn't have to.
Anything neon would still fit their motif. Like the neon green. Like throw in some like neon red and some neon blue. Just make it bright and glowy.
Ultra
and it looks violet, awesome.
Violet, something or other, purples.
Just break up the green. If anyone at Blizzard is listening, I generally think you're doing solid work on the Demon Hunter, but throw in some more color. Like seriously, some other colors besides the bright green. I feel like I've wandered into a college dormitory where somebody has discovered a highlighter for the first time. And he's just going nuts with it because everything is that kind of green. That green that's almost yellow that really hurts your eyes to look at. Everything is that. That being said, though. Overall, and I don't want to, like, we should probably move on to some emails pretty soon, but I do wanted to, like, also get around that some of these artifact quests.
Actually, real quick, because Domehammer in chat made a good point, that is something I kind of felt. It says, the Rogue Class Hall ruins fun for anybody that, like, the sewers in. I was one of those people. I was always hearthed in the sewers.
That's where Mike was found at.
Because I really liked it, for one. It was cool.
And also you could load in there and it would be like crazy.
The lag wasn't as bad. You could actually load in without like disconnecting or something. And that was fantastic. And if Dalaran is as laggy as it was in Wrath, it doesn't necessarily need to be. It seemed kind of laggy on the alpha from what I was seeing already, but that just could be like alpha things are unfinished there. But if it's as laggy as it used to be, losing that safe hearth point would suck.
Well, the other place that I liked to go was the Ledger Main. Because nobody really bound their Hearthstone there.
That was the laggiest place.
Yeah, but it never seemed like it was as bad to me.
See, for me, I think it's the portal tower they've added to Dalaran.
Yeah.
It's going to be a problem. Because everyone's going to be going in and out of that. Because there's portals there.
Yeah.
And every time you add like a ton of portals, I'm also not sure they're going to keep them up. But right now, the original portals to every capital city are up again and with more than before.
The shrine's like up there too. There's a portal to the shrine in Pandaria.
Yeah, so maybe they're trying to like space out the portals and get people to spread out more. I don't know, but I do think they've done, at least right now, I would give the artifact quests a solid B overall, with some of them getting A's and some of them getting C's.
What year did Wrath of the Lich King come out? Was it 2008?
2009?
Was it 8 or 9? And regardless, it's been a very long time since then, so maybe they figured out how to make Dalaran work without the lag. That'd be great.
Like I said, from what I've seen on the alpha, like it could just because it's such early development, but it seems like Dalaran is already laggy as hell with almost nobody in it because there's very few people in the alpha.
I think it's more a matter of it's not quite finished yet because we are also working with a kind of a revamped version of the city. There's a tower in the middle of it. Textures
that's
redone.
Untextured, yeah.
Yeah.
There's no
and I mean, textures
Tyrion
in the rest of the city. Textures in the rest of the city have been redone and kind of revamped. Everything's a little bit brighter and cleaner and sharper.
Demon Hunters stole the Forge area. What's up with that?
That was weird.
We needed a place to be Demon Hunters.
Yeah.
I mean, Death Knights didn't get to take that place over. They had to go back to Acherus to do their crap, and they probably still do because there's a Demon Hunter head and they're not a Death Knight head.
You got me, man. I don't know. Okay. At this point, we should probably do some emails. As always the case, you send your emails to podcast@blizzardwatch.com. We love to get emails and talk about them and discuss them and do all that stuff because that's the show. And as is always the case, we like getting emails from our patrons at patreon.com/AlexZbarn. Is that the
/BlizzardWatch.
That's BlizzardWatch. Okay, good. I could never remember. But, you know, if you leave a message there, we'd like to answer those too. We'd like to do all that kind of stuff. This first email is from somebody whose name is at the bottom. Oh, it's Gorquin again. Hi, Gorquin. Hello again, Watchers. First off, I have two questions regarding the artifact quest lines. A, how big are they? Is their scale comparable to the Green Fire quest chain or more along the lines of kill 10 demons and then talk to the guy over there? B, unless I've misunderstood.
Should we answer A first?
Yeah, let's see.
You know what? Yeah. And since you asked, Alex, you go.
The initial quest to get your artifacts all seem like they maybe take 5 to 10 minutes in some cases. Some of them take a little longer, but it's not because they're more involved. They're just like more mobs to kill or whatever. They're very fast. They're very quick. But I don't know if that initial quest of you getting it is the only questing related to it.
Yeah, it seems very unlikely based on how they're set up that that's it.
I mean, you get it. You get your artifact really fast. It's not long at all. Like I said, some cases it's like 10 minutes. You've got it. But there could be more quests later on that's like, okay, now you have to do this with your artifact or whatever. But we haven't seen that yet.
Yeah. So right now, you basically just get the artifact and you're done.
It's also, keep in mind that this is still alpha. So these quest chains may change and or they may add more to it and or they might take stuff away from it. I doubt they're going to do the latter, but they might add more things to it just depending on the feedback that they get. But yeah, it's not really what I call terribly difficult for anybody. I mean, the rogue was kind of challenging, but not horrible.
Yeah, the warrior one was, it required me to play my class. And that's basically, it's weird because I'm going to say this. We have been saying for a long time that Blizzard needs tutorials. And this isn't a tutorial, but in a way, it kind of does make you learn how to do your class a bit. Just in, so you can get through?
In specific ways, I think.
Yeah, in specific ways.
Like, the Rogue one, you have to use, like, if you're an Outlaw Rogue and you're in the Outlaw Rogue one, they send you, like, okay, you have to bribe this guy. And you have an actual spell called Bribe, which you have to use.
I threatened a guy. Oh, wait, no, nope, sorry, that was the, my bad.
Oh, okay.
Demon Hunters at one point are asking to get into the Violet Hold, and it's like, you can talk your way in, or you can threaten to kill the guy if he doesn't let you in. I went with threatening to kill him because I'm like, you know what? No, I'm not paying you. I'm a demon hunter. Let me in. But yeah, there's the one about the rogue one I really remember was that there's a part where you have to get past all these mobs that can detect stealth.
Yeah.
So you really have to know how to use distract, and you really have to like get in behind them to like, you know, kill them fast before anybody else adds in. And
I just killed my way.
Yeah.
Them.
It seems like. It seems like the people who are doing that, who I've seen doing that, find it much easier to just kill everything than use any tricks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trying to stealth around is going to result in you probably pulling more mobs than if you just pulled them on your own on stealth one at a time.
You don't want to pull two or three groups. You just get up there and kill them. It's fine. Takes a little longer, but it's fine. Gets the job.
I actually did. I did stealth through because I felt like I was supposed to.
Oh, okay.
I'm playing a rogue. I got to try. I'm just running up and killing everything is what I do when I play a warrior.
I mean, if they wanted a challenge based around stealth, I think there's probably a better way to do it. They're just like, okay, here's a bunch of mobs who can see through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if I was playing a rogue for the first time, I'd go, oh, everything can through stealth. Why bother?
I'm just going to go kill everything then.
But there's some, like I've said, the final fight in that thing is pretty intense, or at least some of them. The Red Paladin one is not all that.
No.
It's really, I cannot claim to be any kind of great shakes as a Rhett Paladin, and I breezed through that fight. Although on a lore perspective, it was interesting.
Yeah, and I think the Green Fire quest chain, I think that one was a lot more involved than the artifact chains are.
Yeah.
But again, we're barely even seeing, the only thing we've seen is the getting your artifact. If there's further quests, which they've said there would be, kind of further mechanics for making it better and seeing more lore for it, that's definitely not something we're seeing.
Not yet.
We have a question from Chad. Have either of you done the Hunter one? I haven't done any.
I have done the Hunter
in the Elf.
Yeah, no. The Hunter one, the only Hunter one right now is the Spear. I have done it.
What are your impressions?
It's one of those things where I come to it as a melee player. Like, I'm not a big Hunter player. So I came at this as a melee player, and I thought, this is a reasonably well-executed melee spec. It's got, like, a certain attacks that, you know, benefit from other attacks that set up, you know, there's a... I can't remember the name of it. One of the attacks, you can attack up to 3 times as a session and it buffs itself every time you use it. And then you use another attack you can use after you've used that attack and it builds focus. And it's a pretty solid spec in terms of being a melee spec. I don't know how it would feel as a hunter. That I can't answer you. In terms of how the quest itself is, I felt like it needed a little bit more. Like, you basically get there, you do some stuff. Again, don't want to spoil anything for anyone, but then there's like a lot of fighting this particular mob to get like all the way through. Like, about half of the quest is spent fighting this thing over and over again. And I felt like, okay, could this be more interesting? Because right now it's not as interesting as I hoped it would be. But that's, you know, that's just my impression. I've never played a hunter seriously.
Okay,
going for the B. Unless I've misunderstood something, it would seem... Oh, I will say this. The Hunter class hall, from what I've been told by other Hunters, is magnificent. Like, it's great, and it has a ton of Hunters in it. You're going to be like, oh my god, it's that guy. So there's that. Unless I've misunderstood something, it would seem that some specs share areas for their artifact acquisition. Are the quest chains for these areas sharing artifacts mechanically identical/similar as well, or do they feel distinct? I haven't done... I haven't done the Warlock one. I've done the Death Knight one, and it crashed, so I can't answer this question.
Yeah, I would assume that they're different, but I haven't had a chance to actually like play through them. And, yeah,
and I don't have the alpha, but people in our work chat who are in the alpha have been talking, and from what I understand, and from what I've read from just them talking as a bystander, it seems like some of them overlap, like Warlock and Druid go to the same area. And the encounters are all the same, but because you have different abilities, it asks different things of you. Like a warlock can't approach the fight the same way a druid would, and vice versa. Oh. But the encounter is the same, from what I understand.
You know, the one time I've seen anything like this is, Rat Paladin and Warrior both go to the Broken Front, the Broken Isles.
Okay.
But once they get there, completely different experience.
Okay.
So that's the opposite of what Alex just said, but again, I've only experience that. The thing is Red Paladins get their artifact quest right away. Like, they show up in Dalaran, and it's like, thank God you're here. X has happened. Pick up artifact. Okay, that one. Good, let's go. Whereas Warriors get there, and they're like, you should go fight a lot before we actually introduce you to what's going on. So, since you're a Warrior, you do. Because, I mean, that's what Warriors do. Warriors fight a lot. It's the job. So, you know, whereas, again, the Rogue One gets you on the artifact part really fast. But then it actually takes longer to get your rogue artifact than it does to take, like, say, the Rat Paladin.
So when you go there as a warrior and you go to the Broken Front, do you have to fight the Blood Elves?
No, those guys aren't there. I know that the ones you're talking about, that's a completely different part of it.
The strange, the ones we saw, naked, frozen old Blood Elf dudes that are just sort of flanking the mountain.
Neither the warrior nor the Rat Paladin. You remember when we died? And the place you go when you die, well, you guys didn't go there. The place I went when I died is right in front of where the Rat Paladin stuff is.
Oh, okay.
But the warrior stuff is in a completely different place. Mm. And it's basically just a mini version of the Battle of Mount Hyjal with a bunch of Rykul.
Oh.
And they're all like, you're short. You're like, yeah, I know I'm short. Can we kill demons? Or are you going to tell me I'm short? You're really short, but okay. So it's there's some difference, but yeah, I think it's like the Death Knight one and the Warlock one, you go to the same place and do the same stuff.
Okay, well, it looks like we got one more question from him, too.
Okay, and a transmog question, if time allows. When I assemble transmog sets, if you ever do an add-on spotlight type column again, may I recommend Mogget? I set arbitrary rules and guidelines for myself to make it more interesting. No more than two items that are part of a set. Try and use items for at least four expansions, etc. How about you guys? Do you transmog primarily to whole existing sets, mix and match indiscriminately to achieve maximum coolness, or set yourself rules like I do? Thanks and happy birthday, Rossi. Well, thank you. Gorkwin. Alex, do you care at all?
I'm a very boring person in that I always, the characters that I play, I always kind of end up identifying them with a specific armor set. Like, there's maybe one or two sets that I'll ever use on my paladin, and I like other sets, but I can never see her wearing something else. So once I complete the set that I like, I rarely ever
Okay. Anne?
I mix and match like everything. It's very rare that you'll see me in a complete set. Usually what I'll do is I'll use like two or three pieces from one set and then pull in just items, random items, and pull those in. Like, even with my leveling stream, with my hunter on the leveling stream, I have most of a set, but there are still pieces that I use from other sets in with it, just because I like the variety.
I primarily, with my Tauren, I just kind of throw on whatever. I don't actually care. My Draenei actually has a whole thing. Well, first of all, I have two Draenei warriors that have a ton of gear each.
Yeah.
For one of them, it's always sets, and it's almost always Burning Crusade sets on him. In fact, he usually wears either a tier 4 or tier 5. The other one, I have a plethora of sets that I'm constantly switching between, and I do mix and match to a degree, but here's the thing. The thing I like to do is I like to take pieces that really work from like one set, and then there are pieces in that set I don't like. For instance, I use tier 6 as a Warrior tier 6. I hate Warrior tier 6. But I love Warrior.
There's pieces of it that are good.
But most of it's good, but it has terrible textures on the chest and legs.
Yeah, because so this you swap is those just, out.
But the thing is that Warrior Tier 10 matches it perfectly.
Yep.
It's the exact same color scheme. So I mix and match Warrior Tier 10 and Warrior Tier 6. That kind of stuff I do all the time. Like I'll match Warrior Tier 9, not next year, 9, Tier 8, the Old War set.
That's kind of what I do, except that I pull in... I'll pull in green sets. Pieces. No, I'll pull in like green sets too, as long as they're in the same color palette, you know.
Yeah, see, I don't do that because I'm going to tell you like a secret. I hate all plate from Vanilla. All of it. Because here's what Vanilla Plate says to me. It's the clown suit again. Because there were two clown sets. Everybody knew the Burning Crusade clown set, right? Like, you guys experienced that. The I'm leveling in Burning Crusade, now all my gear looks ridiculous. That set.
Oh, yeah.
That everyone put together. But if you rate it as melee, especially as a plate wearer in Vanilla,
there was a
completely different clown set. And that clown set was, I have bug shoulders on, but my helmet looks just like a level 40, you know, green mail hat, and my pants are bright purple, but I'm wearing pink boots and a white belt. Oh, and my weapon is a giant neon orange hammer.
Because that's the best DPS.
Yeah, and that's all that there was. Like, if you didn't have bug shoulders on, then you had the Drake Talon pauldrons, which looked just like Herod's shoulder, but two of them.
Yep.
The only cool thing about Herod's shoulder was that there was only one of them. But I have two of them. I'm wearing two of them, so I've just ruined the only cool thing about this.
Yeah, they didn't really have a DPS plate set.
No.
Back then.
You basically ended up wearing the scraps that got designed. There was only one good-looking piece of DPS plate back then, and it was a pair of pants that was designed for paladins because it had strength and intelligence on it.
See, I think for me, the vanilla clown suit just involved going to the auction house, finding something that had really good stats on it, purchasing it, putting it on, and then discovering that it looked horrible. Because they didn't have a dressing room back at the beginning of the game. There was no way to preview what the armor looked like until you actually put it on your character. So my character, my druid in vanilla, looked so bad. I just kind of embraced how awful she looked.
Yeah, it basically, like,
there's no way to get around this. There's no way to make her look good. So I'm just going to embrace the fact that nothing matches.
Vanilla and Burning Crusade, I still played my priest full time. And I had terrible drop luck in Vanilla. Like, I was wearing Prophecy so far beyond what I should have been wearing Prophecy. And I think my raid had, like, 7 priests. So I could never get out of Prophecy. And I get to Burning Crusade, and you get that cloth suit, which is, like, here's, like a tunic and booty shorts.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's like, what have you done? Why? Where's my robe? And I get through all these clown suits, and I get to max level in Burning Crusade, and I'm like, finally, I can use tailoring and make a great set. And I make the set, and I put it on. I'm like, this is Prophecy! What the hell? Yep. I wore Prophecy for like 4 years.
I went through, like, I remember getting, like, when I was getting my gear to, like, tank in the first dungeon, like the first raids, like, and you start tanking Karazhan, you ran heroics and got the drops from the various heroics, and it was a kind of off-green version of Wrath.
Yeah.
Warrior Tier 2. Like, the tanking set is just Warrior Tier 2 again. I just got done leveling set the 70, like, and I just got rid of Warrior Tier 2. It's in the bank! Yeah. Why am I wearing it again? What's wrong with you people?
See, I liked. Oh, look, it's a different color version of that set.
I like it now for collecting purposes.
Yeah, but back then it was kind of a disappointment.
It was a disappointment when I put on the breastplate. I actually replaced the Wrath breastplate with the Jade Skull breastplate.
Which is almost the same thing.
It's the exact same thing, just a different color. I thought I'd broken my screen. What happened? Why am I green?
I still think it's funny, you know, despite the complaining about vanilla gear. My priest is transmog to transcendence and anathema, and will probably never be transmog to anything else.
Oh, I think a lot of those that was
her outfit back then, and I can't really see changing it. Not with transmog out now. Now that I can, like, put her in that's the set she's supposed to be in, and that's the only character I can say that about is that priest.
I mean, I still think some of those vanilla armor sets are some of the best looking sets they've ever made, like, still. But the textures are so low res that wearing a lot of them now, even though, like, the aesthetic is way better,
they
look so horrible on your character now.
I would love to see a high res version of Transcendence. I always loved that set because it reminded me of, like, Cathedral Stained Glass. And seeing that in high res would be really cool. And somebody should get on that. I'm just saying.
I do want to move on to the next email, but let's say this. Do you guys remember when Molten Core and Blackwing Lair gear changed?
Yes.
Because I had all the Molten Core gear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they updated the models, and suddenly I didn't recognize any of it anymore. Like, I had the Obsidian Edge blade, and it suddenly turned into a completely different model, and I was like, what happened?
Wasn't it the Transcendence set that was, like, orange moon cloth?
It was orange. It was the orange, the Robes of the Guardian Saint, the one with the slits on the legs. It was the orange version of that. That's what Prophecy used to be. Was it Prophecy? Or no, I think it was Transcendence.
It was Tier 2, because you could get it off of Ragnaros?
That was maybe the hat.
Not. Yeah, the Tier 2, you can get the Tier 2 helmet off of Onyxia. The Tier 2 pants were off of Rag. Yeah, I had both, and they were very primitive models.
Yeah.
Like, it was basically just, you know, any old plate. It didn't look like anything. And then overnight it switched.
It was recolored greens is what it was
Recolored greens, yeah. But all right, next one is from Rob, pronounced Rob, from the Training Dummies. Thank you, Rob.
Hey, shout out to the Training Dummies.
Yeah. I believe that says Rob.
It's Rob. Rob.
Salutations, fine weather watchers. I had a realization the other day that every new DPS class that has been added to Warcraft since launch has only been melee.
Yep.
Would it really hurt to add a new ranged class? I'm not even really sure what ranged options we could have at this point. Demon Hunter seems like it could very well have been a ranged spec, a la Diablo 3, but Blizzard seems to have gone the route of basing the new add-ins purely on Illidan himself with both melee and tank roles. Maybe a Bard class? Some kind of support/DPS hybrid? What do you all think? Also, every single class edition has included a tank spec. Do you think this is encouraging more players to get involved in tanking? Being someone who prides myself on being able to successfully play all classes in most roles, tanking has always come across as a chore and often discouraging while leveling and pugging. Just interested in hearing your thoughts, Rob from the Dummies. You guys?
Yeah, it's always been melee. It's never not been melee. And meanwhile, that group of people that's parked around the raid boss's rear end has been getting larger and larger and larger. And it's still pretty clear and cozy out in range with nobody out there. And I still would like to see them add some kind of additional range DPS. Because right now, what is it? It's like you got Warlock, Mage, Druid, if you're a balanced Druid.
2 out of 3 Hunter specs now.
2 out of 3 Hunter specs. So there's like 4 of them. And I guess Shadow Priest could also be considered range 2, so 5. But I mean,
Elemental Shamans.
Melee. There's melee for almost everything. I mean, they just added Hunter as a melee class now. So we're getting 2 new melee classes, technically speaking, because we got the Demon Hunters in there. And then we've also got Survival Hunters that are actually going to be standing in melee now this time around. Other classes, I would really like to see a Bard class. I'd like to see some kind of class that's, you know, based around the concept of buff, support, range, damage. I think that'd be fun.
I feel like we need another archer.
Yeah.
And I really feel like that would have been a good... I know that they based their Demon Hunters entirely on Illidan and on you know, Warcraft 3 and all that. But
to be fair, Diablo is a completely different franchise, so...
Oh, I understand that, but I'm quite frankly, I am okay with them stealing from it, because the new warrior stuff feels an awful lot like they stole some moves from Diablo, and I am totally okay with it. Sometimes it's good to steal from yourself, especially when it's your game.
Yeah.
It's not like anyone can – who are they going to be accused of ripping them off? Blizzard, you've totally ripped off Blizzard this time. Blizzard, what do you have to say about this theft by Blizzard? We don't think Blizzard – honestly, let's list all the melee raids. Rep Paladins.
Oh, we're going to be here all day.
Rep Paladins. Frost DKs, Unholy DKs, Arms Warriors, Fury Warriors, all 3 Rogue Specs, Enhancement Shamans, and Survival Hunter. And did I even list the Havoc Demon Hunter yet? No,
nope,
I didn't.
Demon Hunter.
Havoc Demon Hunter. So we're looking at like 11?
Did you mention Monks?
I didn't mention Monks. I didn't mention Feral Druids.
Monks, Feral Druids. Yeah. So it's a lot.
Honestly, like, again, I don't have anything against them putting more melee in the game. Obviously, I love melee, but melee has been suffering in raids for 3 expansions.
Yeah,
it's hard to be melee. You take a lot of damage. It's hard to keep you up. It's a pain.
Also, you only want to take so many melee in, particularly on boss fights that tend to favor, you know, not standing on the boss's rear end, which means that there's just more competition for raid spots. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And,
it'd be nice if they throw a ranged class in there.
I think they could do something like a support class. If not like a bard, maybe something like the Vrykul Runecasters, where
Runecaster would be cool.
Put big buffs on your allies or like big debuffs on opponents, and you don't actually deal any direct damage, which, I mean, you'd have to find a way that people could solo, but a raid role could be primarily buffing and debuffing.
Yeah, I'd say let them deal damage, because if you ever try to make a class that doesn't, it's just going to end up working terribly.
Nobody's going to want to like it.
But definitely, if you use the Iron Council as an example, you've got Runecaster Mulgeme throwing those circles down, and they make him stronger, and they make the other two of them stronger.
Yeah.
Do that for the raid.
And another thing that other MMOs do that WoW hasn't done is, I guess it's like a stationary pet class, like an engineer, where you put up turrets. Like Gazlo in Heroes of the Storm, for people who play Heroes of the Storm, you put up your turrets, and they're your major source of damage. But
Dome Hammer.
You continue doing things other than your turret. But...
Yeah, Dome Hammer in the chat channel said Tinker class, which was that would fit that perfectly.
Yeah.
I don't think they gave hunters a turret class. They gave hunters a turret talent. Right? Mm. They have one. I don't know how it works. I haven't taken it. I just saw that it exists.
Huh.
I think the first game I played, I'm sure it wasn't the first game with that kind of thing. I mean, it's like the TF2 engineer, but in an MMO, I played the Warhammer MMO before it died a miserable death, and you could play like a dwarven engineer, and yeah, you built like turrets and stuff, and it was
the fact
pretty
that,
cool.
Yeah. The fact that engineer, they haven't ever had an engineer or tinker class in WoW has always astonished me. And that would be a good idea.
Well, engineering's a profession, but it's one of those things that it could be a class, you know.
It could be a sap. You could just call it something else. Call it a sapper or a tinker or whatever.
A tinker is cool.
Yeah. But at any rate, yeah. I think in terms of why they've all been tanks, it has blatantly been to get more people to.
Yeah.
Because here's the secret that isn't a secret and that absolutely no one is surprised by. Tanking is not fun. Now, you can have fun tanking. You can absolutely enjoy tanking, but tanking is...
I have fun tanking if I'm tanking for a group of all people that I know and it's in a dungeon. Tanking for four other friends, I love it. Favorite thing to do. Tanking in LFR or LFD or becoming the de facto raid leader because you're a tank, I don't want anything to do with any of that.
See, and I think Anne can even back me up on this. Even though I am a cynical, bitter, and incredibly cranky person, I actually love raid tanking.
Yep, and he's good at it too.
I always ended up doing it, like for multiple expansions, and it would always be like at the weirdest moment, like when we need our main tank the most, he would always flake out, and then I could actually feel the raid turning and looking at me.
And it was like, so funny because we always like recruited you as a DPS warrior, and you never DPS really.
No, I would always end up tanking. And the thing is, I like raid tanking. Because here's the thing, raid tanking, there's usually somebody else to be the bad guy. To be growly and grouchy at people and tell them, you know, all I had to do was make specific calls.
Yep.
Like I would have to call for a cooldown or something, or I'm going to be hopscotching into bloods now. I'm going to need heavy cooldowns, like stuff like that. Or if you've got a priest who can put that bubble on me that makes me run fast, now is a really good time for it. Stuff like that. But I loved that. I love raid tanking. I hate pugging.
Yeah.
And here's why. For every good pug you get, and there are good pugs. I've had them. I'm sure Alex has had the occasional good pug.
Oh, yeah.
But for every good pug, there's like six pugs where people are just awful. Unbelievable. And it's like, I don't think that that's the majority of the players of the game. I just think that, you know, the quiet people don't say anything. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
The average player doesn't say anything because they're not upset. So they're not going to say anything. And the squeaky wheel is usually somebody's like, go, go, go. Or this expansion, people don't even seem to know why they're in dungeon.
Nope.
Oh, like the thing that bothers me most in this expansion is there's whenever Blizzard adds a dungeon where it's not straight down a hallway, people are like, how can I skip these mobs today?
Yeah.
Like, they're making the worst decisions of their lives to skip pulling one trash pack.
Wall to avoid
just pulling... Things. Pulling and killing those mobs will be faster than the inevitable mispulls and wipes that result of you insisting on skipping them.
Yeah,
we're going to pull them on accident later. It will take us 30 seconds to kill them, but you refuse. Just kill them.
That is something that has been really bad, this mansion. And let's face it, we're all looking at Everbloom.
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't name in shame because I couldn't remember its name.
No, we're just going to say it. Everbloom. It's terrible.
Could not.
I love the dungeon. I think it's one of the most beautiful dungeons I've been in, but I hate it at the same time because you can climb everything.
Yeah. People wanting to skip everything ruins that place.
Yeah.
I'll tell you right now, the best experience I've had in a pug this expansion was when I zoomed in on an Everbloom that had cleared up to the last boss.
Oh, wow.
And I realized I don't have to do any of the trash.
Yay!
I don't care that I'm tanking for four people who think obscenity is literally its own language. I'm going to just pull this boss and we're going to go.
And we're done.
Yeah, I do think it's a very intentional sport that they always add tank classes. Because, I mean, it's even at the point, when you're looking specifically at, like, dungeon queues, they haven't done it, but they've discussed in the past even, like, in making dungeon groups bigger. 6 players instead of 5, so you can have 4 DPS, because DPS queues can get so bad, especially at, like, the height of an expansion.
They're horrible.
Yeah. I mean, this expansion in Warlords, at, like, the beginning of the expansion, I was playing DPS, and it was, like, 45-plus minutes just to get into a 5-man dungeon.
I barely did dungeons this expansion, just because I didn't have the time to wait. That's it. I didn't have the time to just sit there and wait.
Didn't I think it was you? I know I'm positive you were the one that said this. We were talking about the removal of scenarios and the biggest deleterious effect of it, and it was what they did to queue times.
Yeah.
Yeah, scenarios were great because I could jump into a scenario and do like one or two of those while I was waiting for the dungeon.
That was a redeeming factor for Ms. Pandaria for me. That scenarios let me, as somebody who is not really interested in tanking in pugs, like, I could get into an instant scenario as a DPS and do something with my time besides sitting there and waiting for a 45-minute dungeon.
And get my valor that way. Half the time, that's how I got my valor cap, was by doing scenarios, because I could get those, like, fast. Yeah, you didn't get as much valor, but it didn't matter, because in the long run, I got into them so much faster.
Yeah, you could run, like, 4 of them before a dungeon would pop.
Exactly.
And they popped almost. All right, next email is from Zode Windwalker, a monk from Wormrest Accord. I actually think he's Zode Windwalker, I'm on Rest Accord, but I like Zode Windwalker as a name, dang it.
Windwalker.
Seriously, tell me. Dear Council of Stormtrackers, at some point we're going to have to do some kind of weird parody of Twister, aren't we? Where it's just a blizzard instead of, you know, we're just like, yeah, it's snowing.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant, like, the board game, and I was really confused for a minute there.
I mean, I had that thought also.
How do we do that on the internet? I don't...
How do you parody Twister? I don't...
Right. Where did Twister even come into this? I actually had a t-shirt concept that just kind of lived in my brain and never went anywhere, like, releasing, like, a weather map on a t-shirt, like a radar with, like, a storm rolling in, but... I wouldn't want to wear that on a t-shirt personally, so it seems kind of lame, but it was an idea.
Okay, well, since we all know that Sylvanas is a bad guy just playing nice till it serves her otherwise, we can guess that one of the reasons she shows up to fight at the Tomb of Sargeras is to fill the ranks of the Forsaken even more. So when she has her flying minions raise Mr. Spoiler Alert along with everyone else who happened to die on that beach, should we see that as the Blizzard Lore Department setting up the new undead faction leader for when Sylvanas goes raid boss at the end of the future expansion, Wrath of the Lich King 2, Patchwork's gonna bust a gut? Zode, I really feel like at this point they're going for something completely different with Sylvanas. Not that I think that they're going to, like, do a redemption arc with
her. I don't even know what they're talking about. Like, half of this stuff, it's like, spoiler alert, there isn't a spoiler. Because this never happened and hasn't happened, but okay.
Yeah, the whole thing about it is, I don't think Sylvanas will ever be a raid boss. If she dies, she'll die the same way other faction leaders have died. I don't think we're ever gonna kill Sylvanas. Sylvanas is probably the most popular faction leader at this point.
Yeah.
I think she defines her faction more than any other leader defines their faction.
Yeah.
And she's certainly, at this point, the longest lasting outside of, like, what? Tyrande, who had to end up sharing power. I guess Vol'jin, kind of, because Vol'jin's been the troll one forever.
Vol'jin's been there since Warcraft 3, so...
So it's Geblin Mechatork, Sylvanas, and Vol'jin, and that's it, because Tyrande cast Velen. The share. Velen wasn't as old as them. He came in BC.
He's not in any game.
Oh, okay. I'm talking lore perspective, but anyway.
Purely from having been in the game.
Mechatork. Tyrande, Sylvanas.
And, like, I think Gen Greymane has been in the lore forever, but I don't think he's actually appeared in any games until WoW, if I recall.
Until Cataclysm. Well, he's in Warcraft 2 as much as any of them are in Warcraft 2. Like, he's not a playable unit, but he's mentioned and stuff in the game.
Yeah, he was in the novels and stuff, but World of Warcraft, he didn't show up until Cataclysm.
I mean, Sylvanas more than any of them, it seems like they kind of set her up as, like, this group of people doesn't exist unless she exists.
Yeah.
There are no Forsaken without Sylvanas kind of thing.
And they're, like, the loyalist. The only group that can compete with the Forsaken for loyalty are the gnomes. Because let's be honest, Geblen Mekotort got himself reelected without running for reelection after 90% of his race was killed.
Yeah. They still have faith.
Like, yeah, that was pretty bad, but I'm pretty sure Geblen can get us through this. What? Are you? Wow.
Look, have you seen him build things? He's really good.
Yeah. He makes tanks, like, all the time. He just made a tank the other day and gave it to the dwarves as a present. Now they use him all the time. Okay, whatever. You guys have different standards of leadership. I got you. But yeah, I don't think we are ever going to kill Sylvanas as boss. I just straight up don't think that's going to happen. And I don't, as much as I personally, when I put my alliance goggles on, Sylvanas is this huge evil force. Like, straight up, when I'm thinking as my alliance characters, yeah, I'd like to see Sylvanas get buried. When I'm looking at the game from the objective perspective of a player, I never want to see Sylvanas go away.
Yeah.
Because Sylvanas, for all that they haven't used her to her potential, Sylvanas is a bad idea magnet, and bad ideas generate drama.
And
Sylvanas
will
do things.
That for a story.
Yeah, Sylvanas will do things, and you're like, oh, why? And then every so often she'll do something, and you're like, yeah, that was pretty badass. And then she'll go right back to doing things that are like, oh, man.
I mean, the whole Wrathgate thing was ultimately something she caused, even if she didn't call the shots there. I mean, the Royal Apothecary Society had people melting poison because Sylvanas told them to make people melting poison.
Yeah, for that matter, in a Cataclysm, here's my best example. In the beginning, in Cataclysm, when you're doing the whole thing and you get wargoned out and you have to go to the cathedral and Sylvanas walks in to confront the Horde Observer, the orc guy, and she's all, we would never use the plague without Garrosh's approval. That guy is not even 5 seconds out the door when she's like, idiot, of course we're going to use the plague.
Yes, we're going to use the plague. Yeah.
I didn't come all this way not to plague people. I mean, come on. We had to, like, ride south. I brought that plague all the way here. I'm going to use it. So yeah, Sylvanas, nah, she's not, in my opinion. Next one is from Kaelthir. Yeah, I'm going to say with Kaelthir. Kaelthir, sound right to you guys?
Sure.
It's like Kaelthas with an ear.
Good morning, Watchers. I started listening to the show before it became Blizzard Watch, and I absolutely love it, especially the lore cast. Keeping up what you guys are doing, I really believe in what you stand for, and it makes me feel better knowing that there's WoW players like you out there.
Thank
My
you.
Question stems from the discussions you've had in the past about the beta. I know the purpose of the beta is to help the larger community by consuming pre-release content now and providing as much constructive feedback to the devs as possible in order to help make the game and the communities better for everyone in the future. Beta players have the power to affect change at the potential cost of their own entertainment and time. This commitment to giving others a better experience really appeals to me, and I've wanted to get involved in the game and entertainment industry for a while now to help the community in the same vein that beta players are helping Legion. I'm a casual WoW player, off again, on again, since just before BC, so I don't think I'd ever get beta access for Legion, so how can someone like me who really wants to work with the industry and community get involved? Thanks, and I hope to hear from you. Kaelthir, Blood Elf, Arcane Fire Mage, May 3rd on US. Either you guys...
there's no guarantee that you'll get in, but make sure you've opted into the beta in your Battle.net settings. I mean, people who aren't streamers or bloggers or podcasters get in all the time. There's no guarantee, but there is a perception that only streamers or bloggers get into these things. And recently it's been true that streamers tend to get in first, but they're not the only people that get in. Like, there's a chance anybody could get in. Beyond that, any ideas? And?
Don't game companies hire game testers, like people to come in and test their games?
Yeah,
isn't that a job? Isn't that an actual profession? That might be something to look into. I know I had friends who did that for EverQuest. Like, they were game testers. They got a job at Sony just to, you know, test games. That's all they did all day, was go in, play things, point out bugs, you know.
Yeah,
I know,
absolutely.
Blizzard even has, like, an internal raid team. They just hired a bunch of raiders to play raid content and test it.
I will say this, too. Blizzard has actually been hiring this whole time.
Yeah.
Like, they do have continuous stuff up that they're hiring people to do. I don't know your background. I don't know, like, what... You know, you could be an artist. You could be... I don't know. I have no idea what you... But if you should check their website, because they do have that. They do have, you know, constant call-outs.
They do. Right now, I think a lot of the stuff on their careers page right now is internships. They're doing a lot of internships this time around. So if you're like in school and studying game design or anything like that, or anything in the game field, it might be worth taking a look at the careers page just to see what they have there for interning, because they've got, I mean, they've got everything from game design to, I think there's like research interns that they're looking for. I think they're looking for like quality assurance. They're looking for software engineers. If I remember right, there was even like writing internships, and there was one for like library and archives. So they've got like a little bit of everything there. If you're going to school, it might be worth looking into. But above and beyond that, though, like I said, game companies, some of them anyway, I know Sony did. They hire people specifically to do game testing and stuff like that, which, hey, you know, if that's the kind of thing that draws you and that's the kind of thing that interests you, maybe that's the kind of employment you want to be looking for. Just a suggestion.
I think that pretty much covers it. We're pretty much near the end of the show, but this last email is really short, so I'm going to try to go for it. Greetings, Ann, Matt, and Alex. Klug here again, your friendly orc DK from Mal'Ganis. Last week, you were all joking about a dance-off in Legion, and it got me thinking about the April Fools in Wrath when they had the Bard class with some sort of Guitar Hero mechanic. Had me fooled for a couple of days, and I was more excited for that class than the DK. My question this week is, what classic RPG class would you like to see? I mean, the hero classes are great, but what class in your mind is missing? Thanks again for all the great work, Klug. P.S. Any chance we can get Alex to do a Lore Watch episode, because I know how much he loves talking about lore.
Blue Mage.
I'm taking that as an answer to everything in that question, not just the classic, but also whether or not he'll do Lore Watch. Blue Mage is his answer.
I was going to say, I'm on vacation this week, so if you want to take over, Alex.
I mean, the thing is, like, I'm not as grumpy or like as apathetic about lore as I sometimes come across in this podcast. It's we have Anne and Rossi here. And we do have to, like, talk about other things. So, I mean, sometimes I really do get into it in some of these questions, and I really like riffing off these guys. But we also need somebody who will sometimes go, okay, can we talk about something else? Can we stop talking about Gul'dan for 45 minutes?
No.
And that's kind of my role, is to, like, Rossi, that's enough Gul'dan impressions, thank you.
Never.
to be fair, Gul'dan's pretty interesting, but yeah.
But for classic RPG stuff, I want to see the Blue Mage from Final Fantasy, where... this, you like collect spells from enemies around the world. Like, you steal their powers. Like, oh, I'm gonna go back to this raid boss and I'm gonna take their ability to put fire runes on the ground. I can put fire runes on the ground now. Or I'm gonna steal this power from the mystical gnoll so I can have their all-seeing eye or whatever the hell. And you fill out your spell book by taking these powers.
You're gonna totally end up with Ragnaros' submerge phase.
There we go.
I got submerged. The heck kind of power is that?
Yeah, so that would be awesome. Like, the whole class is like, you're not like a mage. We're like, oh, I know mage spells. You're specifically this person who is learning what knowledge the wilds of Azeroth have to offer.
Spells, and those could be some really weird things to do any kind of damage.
Yeah.
Okay, Anne?
Well, I already said I want a bard, and I mean it. I really want to see a bard. It's one of those classes where I'm like, why don't we have that? We should have that. Something along those lines. Be great. So,
honestly, I'm going to be completely 100% honest here. I feel like WoW has enough classes that I don't feel a tremendous need for a new one.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, any class I'd want to do, they pretty much have. Like, if I want to do like a punchy type, I can be like an enhancement shaman or a monk, because they both, I can use fist weapons on enhancement shaman, or I could just, you know, punch things as a monk. If I want to do like weapons type classes, we've got a plethora of options. I got rogues, I got warriors, I've got death knights. I mean, you can figure out something. So but all that said, if there's any one thing I would really like them to put into this game, it would flat out be a freaking
bard. Sure.
Because warriors lack that. I would like, you know, maybe split the warrior class up. You can have a dragoonish class that's tanky, and you can have a barbarian. That's a crazy barbarian. That would be my thing.
Yeah, but, you know how like Raphion ate that heart?
Yeah.
And that would just be the Blue Mage. Like, all day, every day, you're eating hearts to gain their power. Like, oh, that guy did something cool. I'm going to eat his heart. And now I can do what he did.
And on that note, Alex is off in the wilderness eating things hearts, and I'm quoting Stephen Crane poems because apparently I rolled a bard. Like, do you like that heart, Alex? It is bitter, bitter, but I like it. It is bitter. And because it's the heart of a fiend, and I now get like +7 to fire spells.
Perfect.
So at this point, Anne?
Blizzard Watch is made possible due to the generous contributions at patreon.com/blizzardwatch, and your continued support means this podcast, site, and community is able to thrive and grow. Blizzard Watch supporters enjoy exclusive benefits like early access to the podcast, a better chance at having your question answered on our podcast or the queue, and an ads-free site experience. Plus, there will be no heart eating.
Oh. Thank you. That's been the show. Thank you very much for listening. I'm Matt Rossi. I've been the host. Until next time, send all emails to podcast@blizzardwatch.com. We love to get emails. We love to answer emails. Thank you, and good night, and happy birthday.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.